The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still on Tush Push Watch. We got nothing?
Got nothing. Right. Got nothing, although I might have a Jordan Hudson update.
Oh,
bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, well, that's even better.
Yeah, let me check into more of that.
Oh, there's a tease. That's what we call in the business, a tease. Jordan Hudson, by the way, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, correct?
Maybe.
Oh! Not for long. I always say cut to a shot of Lombardi in his office being like, well, I've got this covered. I've got this taken care of. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Jamie Leva, they would spin you till the Belmont is my new favorite slang term. If you know, you know. LOL. Thank you.
Gil wants to live bet the Belmont.
So I want to live. Was that, so if you wanted to live bet journalism in the middle of the Preakness, they would have spun you to the Belmont. 3Jack H3131. Pro tip of the day. Always make a bet when the odds are plus big time. Have a great day, gentlemen. Did I say plus big time on something?
I don't know. I didn't get that one either.
The May ESPN Plus offering French Open Field versus Carlitos and Sinner plus 225. Is that value? Oh, we'll ask Drew here momentarily. And then Bruce Dobigan, been away in Ireland the past 2 weeks, missed hearing you guys, but ask me anything about why avoiding Munster in the GAA hurling final could benefit Tipperary. My God, he could be making up words. I have no idea.
For real? I already forgot about the KenPom curling section.
That's right. Oh, by the way, before we get to Drew here, Drew Dinsick joining us, talk NBA, tennis, Preakness, all that stuff. Jake Hahn about the Conn Smythe, because we, pardon me, we ran into a wall. He believes that if you think Edmonton is going to win the Stanley Cup final, Draisaitl is the better bet than McDavid. Draisaitl 11-1, as opposed to McDavid plus 350. He would bet Leon Draisaitl 11-1. He did like Jake Oettinger 14-1, if you're all about the stars. But the one other thing he said off air that was interesting, if you have some Florida Panthers conviction like he does, he was saying that literally the Panthers could go to anybody. So he was saying, feel free to take long shots on like Sam Bennett and Carter Verhaeghe. Both are 75-1. So there you go. It's a little Conn Smythe follow up.
So real quick, your update is Katie Roseman over at the New York Times wrote an article this morning, I believe, on Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson, where she says that Jordan Hudson has told at least one person that she and Bill Belichick are engaged to be married.
Oh, my God. That's not how I thought this was going.
Yeah.
I thought you were still going to break up.
Went the other way, bro. Went the other way on you.
Oh, my God. Drew Dinsick joins us now. What better way to segue to Dinsick time? Drew Dinsick, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, whale underscore capper. It's like we're doing TMZ in the morning here. Did you hear that? Oh, my God. What's happening?
I mean, it just warms your heart, you know? True love.
Drew's a romantic. True love. He appreciates things like this.
She's just attracted
Nothing
to him.
Nothing transactional at all about that relationship. It's pure, true love.
He's a good-looking guy. Just attracted to him. That's all it is. Let's follow up on a couple of these tweets. One, I was just talking about the Preakness and what an unbelievable run that was for journalism. Mm. And I was just riffing about how, imagine if there was like live in-horse race odds. You know, and like, what would journalism in that scrum of horses being banged around, what would that horse's number have been right at that moment? It would have been plus big time. That's when I said plus big time.
Mm.
there it is. I said it again.
I was thinking like plus big time. Yeah.
I knew if I talked long enough, I would run into it again. You've seen more horse races than we have, Kelly and I combined, but that was pretty exciting no matter who you are, I would imagine.
Oh, of course, yeah. I never seen anything like that. And yeah, 99 out of 100 times when a horse gets squashed like that, and it's particularly when it's a horse that you expect to have a pretty long and fruitful campaign as a 3-year-old, maybe even as a 4-year-old, they pull up out of caution, because you know that's a troubled trip right there. But to run him through that was wild. I couldn't believe it as I saw it, and just kind of proved the degree of class that journalism was in that field. It was a relatively weak field in hindsight, but boy, oh boy, what a example of overcoming adversity from an animal.
Incredible. Preliminary thoughts, who's winning the Belmont in 3 weeks or a little less than 3 weeks?
I'd say Sovereignty is very, very clearly your horse to beat there. Yeah. If you're a long student of the Triple Crown, you kind of are used to the Belmont being run at the Belmont and being longer. It's kind of the marathon of the Triple Crown traditionally. This year is the second and final year they are running the Belmont at Saratoga. And because of the nature of the track at Saratoga, they can't do a mile and a half. They stick to a mile and a quarter. So it's the same distance that the Kentucky Derby was run. The only kind of obvious takeaway you could have from rewatching the Kentucky Derby is that Sovereignty wanted that distance. And he's going to get it again. So as great a horse as Journalism is, we're probably really not going to see a Journalism Sovereignty rematch where both horses are peaked for their prime until we get to the fall.
Okay, to Tennis. Before we get to the French Open, by the way, Beating the Book podcast, Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, and I, Thursday, once the draw is announced in Paris, probably prior to when they'll have quarters out, but you never know, we'll do a podcast on the French Open. Tennis's second major of the year, the clay major. Any plays today that are left in Hamburg, Strasbourg, Geneva, or Rabat for you?
The week before a slam is a week to
avoid,
reflect.
Yes, I'm with
reflect
you.
On what's happened as opposed to really spinning into those pools.
I'm totally with you.
And maybe no more important week to take that and heed that advice than the week this week here. These clay tournaments are absolutely insane. You can watch these matches expecting to learn something, and all you're going to learn is whatever that player decided to go to that tournament for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's not going to tell you anything about their form. So it's a little bit of a lost cause for this particular week of clay. No one plays anything the week before the US Open, largely because those tournaments are pretty absurd. They're in like the heat and humidity of Winston-Salem, and I can't even remember where the women's tournament is that week, but those are just, you're putting yourself in harm's way even competing. The grass tournaments at Eastbourne, I think, are actually maybe the exception to the rule. That tells you a little bit of something about how a player is playing on that surface, because the grass season is so short, that is a little bit of valuable data. But this week of clay is absolute chaos. I mean,
I haven't made a bet myself either. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, you will learn some things, right? Like, do we think that Alexander Zverev feels good about his game? No, because he went to Hamburg as opposed to just getting right for the French Open. And you did have a tweet that asked the question about
let's throw up a field bet here. This is the tweet was ESPN Plus offering, I guess he means the ESPN bet, offering French Open field versus Carlitos and Sinner is +225 value. Let's throw up the French Open men's odds, if you will. It is, by the way, Carlos Alcaraz just beat Yannick Sinner at the final in Rome. But keep in mind, that was Yannick Sinner's first tournament back from suspension. So again, how much do you read into that? But it is Carlitos at +125 to win the French, Yannick Sinner +175, and the aforementioned Zverev leads the rest 11-1 and longer.
Yeah, +225, missing a zero.
Missing a zero. Wow. There's your answer, Coach May.
Two-man race. Yeah, two-man tournament, as we have come to understand most men's tennis really of the last kind of 30-ish, 30 or 40 men's slams. It's the quality at the top is so good, and when the two players at the top are both in, you know, good physical form, there's no real reason to overthink this. Sinner for me would be the play at this type of price point, just because I think his path to the final is going to be a little bit cleaner, and Alcaraz is a little bit more of a play with this food in week one kind of a guy that has gotten him into trouble against much lesser players at slam events. I can't really dispute the quality that Alcaraz showed in that Rome final. I thought that was pretty impressive the way he was able to kind of raise his game in the key high leverage points in the first set tiebreak, and then effectively just putting on the afterburners and dispatching Sinner with no qualms in the second set was notable. I would qualify it the same way you did, which is Sinner's first time back, Sinner's first match against an opponent that is, you know, is actually a real true test. And so I kind of give him a pass for not being able to find his way into that match. But the kind of the more concerning thing for Sinner, and the reason why he's the dog and not the favorite in this in this particular tournament, is that he just hasn't solved Alcaraz now going on like a year and a half. Like, he hasn't beaten him head to head since 2023, maybe further. I haven't looked at the head to head recently, but I know Carlos played him three times last year and he got him all three times. I know that the French Open last year, Alcaraz defeated him in a five setter, even though his elbow was not in 100%, you know, not at full strength. So I get it why Alcaraz is the favorite, but I think there's a better, there's a more realistic chance that he does something silly in week one and doesn't get to the final. Whereas Sinner is so clinical and is so fresh and so sharp that he will be in the final. It's just a matter of if he can either, number one, find the answers to finally defeat Alcaraz in that moment, or number two, if Alcaraz is even there.
So let me ask you this just for giggles before we go to the break here. If I came to you from the future and I said, hey, guess what? It's not Alcaraz and Sinner in the final. This one player punctured the bubble. That player would be?
Jeez.
Draw unseen, by the way. Draw unseen.
Yeah, I think my third choice right now would actually be Lorenzo Musetti.
That would be my third. Bang. That's exactly,
I think,
who.
Lorenzo Musetti definitely has, he's young, right? He's, well, I say he's young. He's 23. So Sinner's 23. Carlos is 22. So he's right in that generation with these guys. But
something happened to Musetti.
He's putting it together.
Yeah, something happened to him in Monte Carlo, where he went from just sort of a top 20, top 30 player to, oh, I found it. I'm going to be awesome.
Yes.
We'll get to the women's side. Agreed. We'll get to the NBA. Drew's got a number you got to hear next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Belichick family is losing their minds right now. Losing their minds. Smarter bets start here and last all year with VSiN Pro. Right now, sign up on an annual subscription to get 14 months for just $199 when you use promo code PRO. That's two extra months free for less than 50 cents a day. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's analytics, betting trends, and expert breakdowns. Don't wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO to lock in this offer. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets of beating the book. Jay Buckley, never forget Drew tipping us on, was that Jonas, to win the Tour de France the other year? Jonas? Is that how I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, sure.
He's giving Drew a shout out for his Tour de France expertise. The James Lloyd, having Sunday fun day, and I found Drew Dinsick's doppelganger in North Carolina. Oh, we should probably throw this picture up at some point. This guy looks exactly like Drew. That could be Drew. That might actually be Drew on the drums. Drew, do you play the drums by any chance? Let's bring in Drew Dinsick. Drew Dinsick, at @whale_capper. By the way, I failed to mention, co-host of both the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. By the way, Bobby Geddes shouts you out. He says, I think I can help Kelly with the hurling versus curling dilemma. Also, Drew's solo pod while Andy was out was fantastic yesterday. A lot of quick nuggets. There's a shout out for you, Drew.
I love it, man. Don't play the drums, although my my cousin Matt, who is my musical kind of North Star in life, was and is a professional drummer. He has actually similar hair, so you might be looking at Matt Dinsick. the curling, the biking. If there's a niche sport that you need handicapped, there's a decent chance that I got a good number for you.
Where are we? When is the Tour de France? What month?
So we're in the heart of the Giro d'Italia right now, Gil.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need me to remind you of this,
but
Sunday was the kind of the classic stage through Tuscany that finishes in Siena.
Oh, beautiful.
All of us who are kind of gambling men know the name Siena, Italy. It's of course where they run the horse race. In the town square.
Yeah.
That thing's cool.
This is famous, thousands-year-old gambling city of Siena. The Giro just finished stage 8 there with Wout van Aert riding the race of this of the tour to this point. Today's the time trial in the Giro d'Italia, we have a potential wild upset on our hands as a 21-year-old Mexican from Ensenada,
wow,
in Baja,
wow,
is currently a minute ahead of the field. And this is like a true and wild breakout that no one saw coming. My guess is his pre-tour odds were somewhere in the 200-1 range if he was even listed. It's pretty chaotic, but the important news and notes if you're handicapping cycling is that the top two riders on tour, Jonas Vingegaard, who won the Tour de France 2 years ago, and Tadej Pogacar, who won last year, they both elected to skip the Giro d'Italia to rest up and prepare for what looks to be the head-to-head of the last decade in cycling, as wow. both guys are in peak form with good teams and are going to go head-to-head to kind of square once and for all who is the rider of this generation.
It's in 2 months.
It's the Sinner Alcaraz of cycling.
How much rest do these guys need, Drew? It's 2 months away.
Drew, I just need a one sentence answer to this question. Is the kid from Mexico now, is the nature of, if he is to win, is the nature of his win, is the veracity of it going to be questioned with cycling history?
Not at all. No. Okay. You win a classic, you are for real. What will happen is he will be, you know, he will punch his ticket financially for like the next decade.
Good for him.
Right? Like some team will either give him a huge pile of money to be, you know, one of their kind of captains, or he will be kind of swept onto one of the top teams to be a support rider. With, you know, the potential to elevate into kind of lead rider as he ages into kind of his prime. So,
okay.
If he holds on and wins, and it's, yeah, again, like a lot of racing left, guys. We got a lot of stages left before we get to the end of the Giro.
Obviously, Kelly. Jeez.
I know we got to hit NBA, but what's a huge sum of money mean for a cyclist? How much is that?
Shoot, man, this is big time for like kind of the, among the niche sports. My guess is yearly contracts for a guy who kind of punches his ticket on a classic and wins something like this. You're in seven figures in terms of compensation. So
there you go. Kelly's not too late.
Probably $2-3 million a year.
Start training. I mean, all right. Hold on.
This is the money that these teams put into the full team. Is not unlike like F1, right? Like these are massive like oil and gas companies in Europe that are, you know, like Astana is a team which is literally like the national team of Kazakhstan, you know, like they're putting their entire fortune behind that to get people kind of awareness. Jeez. Of how you know Kazakhstan as an entity, you know, like this is it's pretty big money ultimately. And
all right.
My guess is if you're a top tier rider, you're getting compensated in the tune of $2-3 million a year.
For more on the Tour de France, Drew, in coming weeks and coming months, we will talk more about it. By the way, we'll talk French Open ladies side on the podcast on Thursday. We'll shelve that for that. So listen to the Beating the Book podcast. I know Drew was fiending to talk about it now, but we want to get to the NBA. By the way, again, another tweet. People are more fascinated by your random stuff, Drew, than anything. Bobby, this is from Steve the Proxy. Is this the first time we've seen the California version of the stratosphere in Drew's background, his fish tank? What's the status of that ecosystem? Anyone new to the neighborhood? God, people want to know about his fish and everything.
It's just a planted aquarium right now. Yeah. I have two fish tanks, one that is in front of me with one of my fish that has survived the fish apocalypse. He's great. Yeah. But the one behind me is only plants.
Okay. Yeah, tree fell in it. Yeah.
NBA, I went to break and I said, you've got a number that's going to wow people. And then you, after a pregnant pause, go, do I? but you do. Oklahoma City and the Timberwolves, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, 7.5-point favorite. Obviously, OKC prohibitive series favorites as well. How do you see this?
Yeah, so ultimately, again, like lots can happen. We are still 8 wins away from crowning a champion in the NBA Finals. However, it feels very, very strongly like the Thunder effectively punched their ticket on Sunday with the win over the Nuggets. Now, with that win, I draw them into a minus 700 fare against the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. And then regardless of opponent in the finals, they would be minus 400 or thereabouts for me, which means I have the Thunder right now at about 70% chance to win the title, which is in the minus 230 range.
Wow.
So it'll be a surprise if the Thunder don't ultimately ship this. And in this particular series, I am really, really looking. I'm struggling for answers as to how Minnesota is competitive, honestly.
By the way, just a slight update, a little tick down here. Timberwolves now 7-point dogs, not 7.5. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't hate that movement either, because this game one is probably the Timberwolves' best chance. You're getting a Thunder team that really poured a lot of energy into a game seven. And really that entire series was massively physical. And could have taken something out of the Thunder to the tune of they, you know, have a bit of a finding their way in game one. So if you made me take a side with the points in game one, I would take the 7 with the Timberwolves, as my fare is around 5.5, considering the fatigue. My most likely outcome of this series is Thunder sweep. I have that happening 26% of the time.
Oh my God.
And then,
wow.
And then decreasing confidence at a longer series. So basically, second most likely is Thunder in 5, third most likely is Thunder in 6, fourth most likely is Thunder in 7. But
you have a play in game one? You doing anything with this?
I like the under. I think the Timberwolves are going to struggle to get to 100 points in pretty much every game in the series. I have their expected offensive rating coming in around 104, which is super low. So this is going to be a tough series for them offensively. And I'm kind of excited to see exactly what Degano decides to do in terms of his defensive rotations and making life miserable for the Timberwolves.
Your numbers closer to market for the Pacers and the Knicks?
I am on the Pacers there. I line that as a dead even 50-50 series. And I took plus 140 with Indiana. I took the 4.5 points in game one. I think the Pacers have the best offensive player in the series with Haliburton, although it is very narrow between him and Brunson. And I think the Pacers have the two best defensive players with Siakam and Nembhard. And if you kind of want to throw a little bit of extra sauce into the mix, the kind of the current form of the Pacers offense is just, it is such a smoothly oiled machine right now, whereas the Knicks, their offense really only looks good when they're getting something out of Bridges and Anunoby, and that has been a choose your own adventure this entire playoff. So I'll be surprised if the Knicks take care of business cleanly. If they win, it's going to be close and ugly. And I will not be surprised if the Pacers turn out to be just very good.
Here's a picture of Drew playing the drums in North Carolina on the way out. Look at this kid. He's handicapping and also playing the drums. Do we have that? No?
Might be a little tight.
Might be a little tight.
I saw it on the side, and that was a little spooky.
Thank you, Drew. We'll show it on the other end.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. That's sharpplays.com. Check it out. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch, somewhere out there, he says, somewhere out there, base winner is still talking D-backs metrics for tonight's play. Love that. Just ran him into a wall. I apologize.
I like that you brought that up with Spore yesterday.
Yeah.
All I was thinking about was the Diamondbacks. And I was like, well, Mark's got to love the Diamondbacks.
As I was loading that question, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, we already know the answer to this from him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Brian M., Euro d'Italia, which is in New Jersey, I believe. Talking about the race that Drew was referring to. Ben Handorf, as a long-suffering Leafs fan, Gil, we will need another cryptic miracle like the legend of Bill Barilko for this squad to win another cup. Check out the song 50 Mission Cap by the Tragically Hip to get the full history of this wild happenstance. Andy McNeil, who used to do hockey for us, his Twitter handle used to be the Tragically Hip, I believe.
Really?
Or the Tragically Hip Check. He made it into some hockey thing.
He's one of those guys who changed his handle too many times.
Because I think the Tragically Hip is from Toronto, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me Google.
While you're looking for the Tush Push update, why don't you Google that? And Steve the Proxy. I brought this up yesterday, Steve. I'm glad you're bringing it up again. He goes, is there anything to the thought that OKC versus Indiana would be a ratings disaster for non-NBA hardos? Shouldn't we assume that New York and Minnesota would be the beneficiaries of foul calls in each series? SGA versus Halliburton or Brunson versus Ant. Def think it's over total games combined. Hey, listen, I can't work reading these tweets. You guys got to you guys got to spell out the words. No, I totally agree with you, Steve. This is for the we're so close to the sun on this. We're betting it. We love basketball. But yes, I was just talking about the average sports fan friend in your life who, let's say, is a big football fan, but is kind of like, hey, if LeBron or Steph is playing, I'm into it. But otherwise, I really couldn't care less. This is a nightmare.
You know what? I sat just to take this to prove your point even more. You know how excited I got yesterday when I had the realization. I hadn't really thought about it this way before, but the realization of like these are four teams that are all led by star youngish guards. And it's like that's really cool and rarely ever happens. Like usually we've seen the wings, we've seen you know all these other different sets of teams.
I always use my buddy Tommy in DC as an example. Huge football fan, as many in DC are, right? But he's like, it, you know, and if it's a star, if it's Steph, he's into it. But you know, will he watch these conference finals? Not a chance, not a chance. And I think he represents a lot of people. Ben Wilson, ladies and gentlemen, in the non-Stormy Bonatoni category, he is the winner of who will be the most famous person to ever come out of VSiN. Ben Wilson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always a pleasure to see his face. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great. I'm glad I can win a winner without market.
Yeah, what?
That's a high honor.
Winner without market. There's a market with Stormy, and then there's a winner without Stormy market. You are the favorite in that market.
Good call, Ben. Yeah. That's what I was wondering
awesome.
Too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a golf thing. Nice of you to catch that.
Yeah.
All right, great. So let's do. I want to do a few sports here. Let's start with the French Open. Your thoughts on that first.
I can't wait to see what, first off, with the draw here coming up, I think Thursday, we have tended to see, Gil, in the past, the folks who organize the draw tend to do some weird things.
Yes.
And when you now have, I mean, for the women at least, Iga Świątek, who's the, we know the seeds, we just don't know the order, the five seed, right? But are they really going to put Iga and Aryna Sabalenka in the same half of the draw? Like that to me is the big question here. And I love also getting the every few weeks just random tweets from people during your show of hey, remember that one time you slandered Iga?
Yes. Yes.
It's been the best running bit ever.
Stole my question.
Exactly. I will say, though, I mean, if we're just comparing odds, right? Remember when Iga was, you know, you're laying a big price for her to win this tournament. That feels, you know, now you're getting to plus 220. That's an awfully big shift. Just generally speaking on that, on a surface that certainly plays the slowest right along with Rome of all these clay court spots. I've always been a huge, and a part of why people make fun of me on for my Iga slanders, because I've always been a huge Aryna Sabalenka fan. Her clay numbers actually are not that big of a dip down from her hard court and grass numbers, which I think would surprise a lot of people. However, a lot of the good clay court data has been on the faster clay, like in Madrid, like in Barcelona, and in Stuttgart, which is an indoor event. But I totally believe that that's justified her and Iga to be basically around the same. I really hope they're not in the same side of the draw, but that to me is very, you know, very interesting where the odds are at there. And men's side, it's simple for me. I just, the quarter four with Taylor Fritz being the four seed, being completely out of form, there's like three or four guys I'm like, please just end up in Q4, because that thing's going to be totally wide open. I really hope Arthur Fies, he's kind of the top of my list for I think there's going to be a total random long shot wild card who wins that Q4 there on the men's side.
Stop dancing around, Benny. Sabalenka or Świątek, who wins head to head?
I think for this particular tournament, I'll go Sabalenka.
For this particular tournament. For any tournament, you would say that.
It's the worst form Iga's ever been.
Oh, right? No question.
Aryna Sabalenka's playing out of her mind. Like, if it's ever going to happen, it's now. I mean, there's probably no other time, at least, you know, in their careers, they're going to be this evenly priced.
Second best clay numbers behind Iga, Coco, actually. Both Iga and Coco have mental blocks, it appears.
I just wanted to make sure we got it on the record.
That's good.
I thank you for leading me down that path. I knew I could.
Again, Ben, the non-Stormy market, you're the favorite in that. To basketball, you have some Timberwolves plays here.
Yeah, I'll go against the grain, and I respect everything that I just heard Drew Dinsick talk about. But look, we have seen the blueprint at least play out as far as how you beat an Oklahoma City team. It's leverage the youth and inexperience, and show physicality that can match their really good defense. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, the best thing that anybody does of these four remaining teams is what Oklahoma City does on defense. However, I believe that that line, the series price, is a little heavy there in favor of Oklahoma City. To me, it feels more of a toss-up series. I do believe Minnesota, they can go 7, 8, 9 deep of guys you can actually trust in a playoff series. Denver couldn't do that. That's ultimately what could not get them over the hump. And you need that sort of depth to be able to compete with an OKC team that's just so malleable and can throw so many different things at you. So there's a world in which Minnesota is able to find those answers to me. And given that this is such a big price, I don't see Minnesota, if it's a close series, then going into OKC and winning a game 7. So I just took a sprinkle on a Minnesota in 6. I mean, you're getting 4-1. And look, Julius Randle, who's just been on an absolute heater now for 6-7 weeks here, averaged 25 a game in the conference semis, especially if, depending on how the defensive matchups go, if more attention, certainly there's going to be dual attention to both he and Anthony Edwards, no doubt. But I mean, 30-1, when we've seen some shooting struggles for SGA, who's the favorite in that market, 30-1 on Randle to lead the series in points. I just looked at that. I'm like, that seems like a ridiculous price for a guy who is just playing insane basketball. And at one point we thought was kind of a guarantee to use his player option for next year. Now I don't think you do that. I mean, he's going to get a lot of great offers and one of the few guys to have that ability, given the new cap rules coming into place for next year. So that was a couple plays for me. I also threw in the Isaiah Hartenstein, the series rebounds leader. You're getting that near 3-1, just in a situation where wanting to diversify the portfolio a little bit. I definitely think if you're comparing him and Chet Holmgren, two pretty similarly priced guys as far as leading that series in rebounds, I'd much rather take a Hartenstein to kind of neutralize what a Rudy Gobert wants to do on the interior, someone who's a little bit more anchored to that part of the floor. So just a few, throw three of those out there. You hope to hit one. Pretty good plus money numbers on all those.
All right, Ben, you are, for those who don't know, Ben is a fantastic play-by-play announcer across multiple sports. One of the sports you cover and do play-by-play for is college baseball. So you see a lot of games. Omaha is right around the corner, College World Series. Give us a team right now that you would play in the futures market in terms of winning the title, and then some other teams that have caught your eye as well.
Yep. I believe back in February, I mentioned Clemson, and they remind me a little bit of what Texas A&M's season arc was last year, which was super hot start. I think A&M went 21-0 last year. Clemson was, 19-1 to start the year. Then they got a bunch of pitching injuries midseason. So they struggled a little bit back into ACC play, and now they've got their guys healthy. I'm going to buy on that dip. I think when I first looked at them, they were 30-1 back in February. Well, now they've dipped to 40-1. They are likely going to host a regional, and they've got a pretty good setup to draw in the ACC tournament. So I still like Clemson. That's a really good team that should not be 40-1. Cam Cannarella having an awesome year, hitting over 330. And then two teams who had no expectations coming into the season, really, but have been awesome. And it's sort of the case in the transfer portal era, where you can put together really good teams out of nowhere. Louisville out of the ACC, K-State out of the Big 12. K-State, by the way, I think is a good long shot pick to win the Big 12 tournament. They play, they're a speedy team, hit balls in the gaps, which plays really well at Globe Life Field in Arlington. So K-State is a 6 seed. Watch out for them in the Big 12 tournament. Both with very veteran coaches, Pete Hughes for K-State, Dan McDonald for Louisville. Coaches who know what they're doing, how to manage the bullpen, handle the pitching staff once you get to a regional. Those are two, probably going to be 2 to 3 seeds, and I think they'll be really dangerous in regionals.
Ben, you're awesome. Always appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, guys. Winner without. Cash it.
Benny! You got a shot in the full one, too, but I'm just saying.
Benny and the Bets.
Ben Wilson, everybody. We'll recap all the bets next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ryan Hyatt, shadow producer of Primetime Action back in the day. He says, love the college baseball discussion on ANG with Gil Kelly and Ben Wilson. College baseball postseason should be a great market for those smart enough to do a modicum of research. He's right. Again, I don't know if you all remember this, 2022, Ole Miss, 100-1, cha-ching. That was one of the great rides ever. The hottie toddy ride was fantastic. What a summer. Brian M., I've been enjoying the WTA the last couple days, the women's side of the tour. 7-4-1 yesterday and today. Good for you, Brian.
Nice.
And Zach Cohen reminding folks on Twitter, he said, I'll be doing a bunch of French Open stuff. Draw comes out Thursday, so I'm going to be joining Gil and Drew on the Beating the Book podcast. He's also going to do men's and women's draw analysis for VSiN.com either later that day or Friday. So all the tennis you can want. And Roger Jones, beloved national treasure, the tragically hip, not from Strasbourg, Ontario or Toronto, but Kingston, Ontario.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Roger Jones. Yeah. By the way, I hope Ben wasn't offended by the fact that I said he would be the most famous in the non-Stormy market.
Yeah, it's kind of funny the way you say that.
Well, because Stormy's already, you know, doing big things.
Oh, I understand.
Stormy is lovable. I mean, what is there not to love about Stormy?
She nothing.
Lovable. Able to be loved.
Yeah. I think you could just say good things about Ben without comparing him.
You, Kelly, are remarkable. Folks are able to make remarks about you. No, Ben, Ben Wilson is fantastic in what he does. Fantastic. His play-by-play is awesome, by the way.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. So he'll be doing the WAC tournament this weekend, college baseball. Yeah, that'll be on ESPN Plus.
Sounds like a lot of ESPN Plus for Ben here, right?
A lot of ESPN. And then he's going to be doing arena football, he said after that.
Mm-hmm.
Arena football. Yeah. Let's recap all the best bets from today, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. I didn't have anything specific today yet, but I will be, as I mentioned, I did bet the Pacers yesterday, +140 to win the series against the Knicks. I will I'll be on the Pacers plus the points in game one tomorrow. I can almost guarantee that. Will I be on the T-Wolves plus the points in the contest tonight is the only question. We'll see what number they're dealing in the old VSiN Killer Sports Challenge, where Steve Fezzik and Zach Cohen are tied, and you and I are 2.5 games back.
So that's another interesting wrinkle. I thought it was a great story up at VSiN.com, or released in the newsletter today about Steve and Zach. I think Bill asked them about kind of their different approaches to the contest, right? We were talking a little bit about this earlier. And I think the one note, like, I already submitted one. I already have a play in there. Yeah. It's Timberwolves +7.5.
And you know what Fezzik would say about you?
What?
Unless your number is just so much better than the market price and you're betting it now,
I put it in because I thought this number would go the Minnesota way, which it is going this morning.
Okay. So let's put it this way. You got a save. Because if it had not gone that way, Steve Fezzik would say to you and about anybody who plays it this way, wrongly, a day before or whatever. And also, we've had people who get the worst of it playing these contest numbers. He is just beside himself. He's like, how do these people not know how to play contests? He's like very judgmental about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's what I'm pointing out. I thought that was one thing that was missing from that piece. Yeah. That there is still at the end of the day, I'm trying to get the best of the number.
Here is the current standings, by the way. Grand prize, $3,000. Second and third place are in the money as well, though. Courtesy of Carl Sack and Killer Sports. There's Zach and Steve, 19-11. Remember, it's only preflop ATS full game or preflop total full game. Doug Kazarian in third. And you and me, along with Alex Christensen, just ready to pounce.
Honestly, Gil, I'm just
Kyle Aiken's in it as well.
I'm just trying to decide if I'm gonna use two bullets on tonight's game.
Oh, Kelly Bidlin, two bullets.
I might. That one, I will be waiting until right before entry time. An hour before, right?
Hour before tip-off.
That one I'll be waiting on, but I'm going to feel really dumb, though, if the Thunder then go win this game, like 140 to 100 or something like that.
And when the question for me is, will everybody else be betting the Timberwolves +7.5? And the strategy for me would be to just stay off it and then hope everybody loses.
I thought if you've listened to Drew Dinzik on this show for a long time, I thought his pricing of that game and that series were very interesting.
Very fascinating. Because the one thing that I've said this about Drew now for the last few months especially, like I've noticed this about him, maybe you've noticed this on his podcast, his conviction on stuff is like the certitude with which he says certain things and his numbers is eye-opening for sure. Like even the NFL draft, remember he's like, oh, Shador is dropping, everybody knows he's dropping. I was like, does everybody know that already? And it turns out he did, right? And then there's some other stuff that don't go his way, but I'm like, I'm always impressed by how the level of his conviction on things.
So I don't think it's like the series pricing. I don't think it's absurd to sit here and say that you've got this price similarly to what the Thunder were against the Nuggets. I don't think that's crazy to say, but to me, I watched that Nuggets series and my personal rating of the Thunder went down a little bit after that Thunder series. But then to hear him say that he's got this game tonight at 5.5, it's like, that's almost more aggressive than where I see it. So I just interesting. So yeah, I'm on Wolves plus 7.5 tonight. In the series, I've got a couple bets. Wolves Thunder over 5.5 games. Played this at minus 125. I think it's Thunder. I think it's Thunder in 6 or 7, though, probably is what we're seeing in the series. And then what did I ask Ben about this, but it's too much to talk about with Ben. I bet leading rebounder in this series as well. I went Chet Holmgren, though. He went Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't know if he's looking at it the same way I am. I think there is a chance, though, that we see Gobert get played off the court a little bit. I don't think it will happen early in the series. I think Chris Finch is going to try to stick with him as much as possible early in the series. But if Thunder go single big and only Chet on the court and a lot of other guards and wing players, I think it's going to force them to evaluate how they're using Gobert. So I think there's some value on Holmgren to lead in rebounding. I like him over Hartenstein because he's already got more rebounds in the playoffs than Hartenstein does anyways. He's the Thunder's leading rebounder. Already in the playoffs, playing a little bit of that off position is where you're going to see him come in and scoop some rebounds over some shorter guys. So I actually like him. It's over 3-1 at DraftKings. I think it's a good price. And then the only bet I have in that Knicks Pacers series, this is a bit of a tale of JVT. I thought he had a great write-up on it, missed the best of the number, but Josh Hart to lead the series in rebounds, I'm going with in the Knicks Pacers series.
Plus 550 on that. For Josh Hart to lead the series in rebounds. The Pacers-Knicks series starts tomorrow night. Mark Borchardt joined us earlier. He's on the Arizona Diamondbacks in the singular game. He's actually on the Diamondbacks on the run line, to be more specific. +1.5, +105 against the Doyers tonight. So he is all about the Diamondbacks. And is it Jesse Welch who said, and somewhere he's still talking Diamondbacks metrics right now as we're talking about this. I also had Jake Hahn on the show earlier to talk National Hockey League with us. He is on the Florida Panthers tonight, +110 in Game 1 against the Hurricanes. And said, if you're going to play the Panthers on the series, he was like, wait till after Game 1 in case they lose and then jump on them there.
Yeah, I thought that made a lot of sense. Yeah. Play him in Game 1 instead of the series. Yeah.
Train may leave the station, but, you know, he's on the Panthers Game 1. Drew Dinsick. He is on the Pacers plus the points. He's on the Pacers at the exact same series price I got him at, +140. I will be on the Pacers plus the points tomorrow night as well. And Ben Wilson, of course. Clemson, 40-1 to win the College World Series. 40-1 still available out there on Clemson to win the College World Series. What were Matt Grissom's preseason?
I thought he was Clemson 40-1 was one of his calls preseason.
He was Virginia. He was Arkansas. And
I don't remember the whole list.
Yeah, it was the third.
Okay, I was wondering that who told us Clemson 40-1, though. So you think it was Ben when we talked to him earlier in the year?
It might have been Matt, too. I can't remember now. Timberwolves. Ben is Oppo. He's on the Timberwolves -1.5 games in this series. So in other words, the T-Wolves to win this in 6 or better at 4-1 odds. He's on Julius Randle to be the series points leader at 30-1. Remember, this is all about the price. Worth a shot here. And Isaiah Hartenstein, series rebound leader at +285. Let's make sure we pronounce that correctly. That is your GBank Best Bets of the Day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of Visa. Get the GBank Visa signature card today. Most credit card, street sportsbook, and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Padres back in action today. Well, might as well win them all.
See, that's right.
Have a shot here.
Just win them all.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
It's not that hard.
Go 11-0 the rest of the way, and then maybe we'll be in it. Because right now, don't look good. It's what happens when your bullpen fails all of a sudden and you don't get any hits with runners in scoring position. I could go on.
Have we ever asked Jake, like, is he a big Padres fan?
I think
he's got the Padres
I think
hat.
He's just doing that for me. But maybe not. Maybe he is a pocket.
I don't know. I was wondering that after it was back-to-back weeks with it.
I don't know. We'll find out who our team is next month, and then we'll find out what hat he wears then.
Yeah.
Stormy, the aforementioned Stormy Bonatoni, and JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. They're next with Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.